I'm Kim Carson. I'm so happy you found my podcast, Conversations with Kim. Whether I'm having a conversation with a celebrity, an author, history maker, record breaker, or the average everyday person, we all have a story to tell. And maybe that story just might change another person's life. We can learn so much from each other. Let us discover some of life's most valuable lessons with today's guest on Conversations with Kim. A full decade of Ken Burns and Lynn Novick's lives were spent sorting through contradictory human stories from a war with some parallels to today's political climate. Today, my conversation is with Ken Burns and Lynn Novick. They have a documentary that will be airing September 17th on PBS, but will be available on virtually every media platform in English, Spanish, and Vietnamese. It's The Vietnam War, a film by Ken Burns and Lynn Novick. Thanks so much for talking with me today, Ken. Lynn?
Our pleasure.
Well,
thank you.
I really enjoyed the term you used to describe you and Lynn, emotional archaeologists.
Yes.
Ken, I know you grew up in Ann Arbor, which is about 90 miles west of here. I'm in Kalamazoo. You grew up at a time in Ann Arbor when it was a hotbed of opposition to the war. And I remember seeing something that you said. You said, I thought I knew what had happened, but you didn't really realize how instantly you'd know how little you knew. Explain.
That's right. And I think a lot of it has to do with as we get farther from an event, we think we know. It sort of just devolves into conventional wisdom and very, very superficial knowledge. And if we don't explore it, then it kind of atrophies and even that disappears. And so what I realized is when I thought I was starting a topic I knew about and found out very early on that I didn't. And part of the reason is that we just don't want to do the textbook version of it. We want to know what the new scholarship is. We want to tell the bottom-up story of soldiers. And that's where the emotional archaeology comes in. You say history to people, and most people kind of roll their eyes. It's like castor oil that you have to take, something you know is good for you, but not good tasting. And what it is memorization of a series of dates, facts, and events. But emotional archaeology is introducing you to extraordinary people, people that you could have had Thanksgiving with, people that feel like they're close to you, regular or so-called ordinary Americans who did extraordinary things when they were 18, 19, and 20 years old. And in this film, we also were able to interview lots of soldiers from North Vietnam and Viet Cong guerrillas and South Vietnam soldiers so we can triangulate and have a 360 view.
Yeah, and Ken, I mean, where did Lynn, where did you first begin? I mean, when you get all the graphic footage, where do you begin with that?
Where do we begin to organize all the material? Well, you know, we have an incredible team of editors, and our writer, Jeff Ward, and our producer, Sarah Botstein, and all of us put our heads together to try to figure out what is the story that we want to tell and what are the visuals that are going to bring it to life. And each scene is its own series of problems, and this is our favorite thing to do, is to figure out how to bring to life the testimony of the remarkable people that we got to know, as Ken was saying, from every possible perspective. So that's why it took us 10 years to make this film.
Yeah, and let me ask you this. Is this true? A lot of the Vietnam War B-roll came to you silent, so you had to create sound effects. How did you tackle that?
You know, this is really what we do, and we've done it since the very first film I worked on, Brooklyn Bridge, which is to take the photographs, which obviously come silent, or to take the footage that most people realize, and probably 98% of the footage came to us without any, and research what exactly that plane sounded like, what exactly that gun sounded like from a half a mile or close up, and to make, in some cases, 150 soundtracks at any given moment. It's a thrilling part of our work when you can see this rather sort of static stuff come alive through sound design. And it's not artful sound design, it's accurate sound design.
Right. I'm curious, were the interviews in the Vietnam War film shot on film or digital? Because you've kind of been a holdout a little bit.
Yeah, well, we broke down. We're nearly all digital. Every once in a while, I'll bring out the film camera and shoot it. But you know, it is now almost impossible, particularly when Lynn was shooting in Vietnam, to do anything that wasn't digital.
How did you guys find Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross?
Well, they're not really hard to find, actually. They're very well-known composers, but we were lucky enough to have the idea that we would ask them to do music for us about, really before we started editing, 6 years ago, after seeing their work in the film called The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and felt that their sort of way of distilling complicated emotions into enormously affecting music would be perfect for this film. And we asked if they would work with us, and they said absolutely yes. And then it was a process of incredibly exciting collaboration over many years of sharing footage with them and talking to them about the kind of mood we hoped they could evoke. And, you know, we sort of wake up every day grateful for the extraordinary contribution they made to this film.
Yeah, I watched some of the clips that you had on the website. And I mean, it is just the music that they made. It's just so beautiful. It's just perfect for all the different scenes. Your body of work, it's largely about the past, but it's very connected to the present and then the future. Can you describe that connection for me?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Mark Twain is supposed to have said that history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And every film that Lynn and I have worked on, indeed any film I've worked on my entire professional life, you work on this subject for, in this case, 10 years, and you've got your nose to the grindstone. You just want to get the facts right. You want to make a beautiful film, a good storytelling, and then you sort of lift your head up and go, my goodness, this resonates in the present so intensely. And it's nothing you're pointing arrows to in the film, but then you realize that history is the greatest teacher we have, and that if we would pay attention to it, we would understand a lot better what's going on right now, or at least we would have a kind of intelligent perspective with which to judge things. For example, a good deal of our divisions today that we suffer, the lack of civil discourse, the hyper-partisanship, had its seed sown in Vietnam. And so it feels like if you go back and watch a good story about Vietnam and what happened, it might help you sort of rekindle your desire to do what Americans do best, which is, work in concert together with shared sacrifice, with the sense of unum and not pluribus. And that would be a great, for Lynn and me, that would just be, you know, the cherry on top of the ice cream sundae.
Wow.
Indeed.
And I know you have to go. I've only got a couple more questions. what do you hope this film will accomplish when it's released out here September 17th?
You know, we have high hopes that this film is going to reach lots and lots of people, and it's going to, we believe, spark a kind of conversation among families, between generations, and across many of the divides that we all find so deeply disturbing in our society right now. And, you know, sometimes we talk about a national conversation, and we don't mean some grand statewide thing, but more just intimate conversations between people. We were at an event the other day, and one of the veterans in the film was speaking about the Marines who saved him when he was shot and could have been left for dead, and how grateful he was to them, and sort of the kind of heroism that soldiers displayed every day in Vietnam. And after the event was over, a gentleman came up to him and said, you know, I'm from your hometown, and I lived through this era, too. And I just want to tell you that I believe the war was wrong and I protested it, and I have no regrets about that, but I am sorry for the things that we said, and wow. I want to apologize to you.
Wow.
And that was an extraordinary moment. Ken and I just both, you know, practically in tears, just watching this interaction and thinking that our film may open up some kind of really deep and important conversations that we've never had about this war.
Yes, to be able to teach, you know, to teach in an entertainment way. Last but not least, Ken, I just want you to take me back to that time when you got that little 8mm camera that your dad bought for you. How do you go from that and then now you're doing PBS, man, PBS?
Well, you know, I don't know. I still feel like inside that little kid. But of course, you know, I've now been at this professionally for 40 years. Literally, I have 41 years since I started my film company, Florentine Films. And you know what? The only thing that matters is that if at the end of the day you feel like you've made a film better and that you feel like the film you've just finished is just a little bit better than the film that you finished before. And so far, we, you know, knock on wood, I think we felt that each time we're learning a little bit more, we're understanding stuff, and that the great thrill is being able to share it with so many people. And that's what public broadcasting allows us to share it with tens of millions of people without commercials, and to do a very deep dive. And we're so grateful to them, our underwriter, Bank of America, that says, look, go, you know, bring it on. Controversial topic, bring it on. This is the way we get better connected. So we're just so happy. We pinch ourselves. We think we've got the best jobs in the country, and just look forward to being able to share with you all the upcoming projects once we get the Vietnam film launched.
You probably are still that little boy. You just have more expensive toys. Thank you so much for talking.
Same haircut, too.
Have a great one. Thank you so much for the conversation today. It's an
Thank
honor.
You.
Bye. You've been listening to Conversations with Kim. Reach out to me, Kim Carson, via social media. On Instagram and YouTube, Kim Carson Now. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, Kim Carson. Listen to my radio show middays on WLAV.com. And each Wednesday, I join the Hot Topics chat segment, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on ABC's Take 5 and Company on WZZM13.com. Listen to more episodes at kimcarson.podomatic.com. Until we meet again, thanks for listening to my podcast, Conversations with Kim.